John 17. Yeah. I'm going to read the whole chapter and then we're going to get into particular verses. And that after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for all the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one deemed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Let's start with the setting of the passage, right? All right, now Jesus is about to go to the cross. Right, this is shortly before he will go to the cross and suffer and die for us. All right, this to me is really the real Lord's Prayer. Right, what we typically think of as the Lord's Prayer really is the disciples saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." It really should be called the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. Right, now prayer was terribly important to Jesus. Right? You can go throughout the Gospels and you'll find many, many places where it says Jesus went off to pray by himself. This is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. Right now, anytime I want to learn something, I want to learn from an expert. Right? You know, whether I'm trying to hang drywall or figure out how to make country-style gravy for my biscuits. Right? Who laughed at that? I want to learn from an expert, right? And that now this passage, who knows better than Jesus how to pray. So let's learn from the expert. Right? Why prayer is important. Right? I believe with all my heart that God created us so that we could have a relationship with him and he could have a relationship with us. Right? Think about the Garden of Eden before the fall. Jesus walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. He wants to have a relationship with us. Right now, if you know anything about relationships, you know that for the relationship to grow, you need to spend time with the person that you're trying to build a relationship with. Right? You spend time with them. You talk to them about the little things and that the weather. You talk about things that are somewhat important and that where will I live? And you talk to them in the crisis times of your life. Right? That's how you build a relationship. Well, the Lord wants to do the same thing with you and I. Right? He wants to have conversations with us, whether it be what we have for dinner tonight, right, or where we're going for lunch after church today, and we'll be probably close on time, or it's a critical time in my life. The Lord wants to have that conversation with you during those times in our life. Right? Prayer is also important so we know the will of God. Right? We're all fallen. We're all self-centered. Right? It's about me. Right? It's about you too. Right? That's the truth. And for me to know the will of God, I need to ask him. Who better to tell me the will of God than God himself? Right? 1 Thessalonians tells us to rejoice always, pray continually. Right? When I was a baby believer, it's like, pray continually. That's, you know, head bowed, eyes closed. That's going to make it tough to drive down I-95. Although I think some people have tried that, but we don't need to go into that. But the point being, I think that we need to have an ongoing conversation with the Lord, minute by minute, day by day. Not just on Sunday morning, not just when we're in a prayer group, not when we're getting ready to worship. We're supposed to be with the Lord having that conversation day by day, minute by minute. And at 20, you know, what do we say today? 24/7, 365? That's how the conversation should be going. Right? Now, well, what is prayer? Right? Well, the Hebrew word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I don't know Hebrew, but it means intercession or supplication. The word we translate out of the Greek means a petition, a request. Right? Here's the Gary definition, a conversation with the Father. Right? But it's a dialogue. Right? When I was a baby believer, it was like, you know, I talked to the Lord. I didn't know that I could hear from the Lord. It's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. If it's a monologue, you're missing the most important part of the conversation, right? Think about any relationship. If one person does all the talking and the other person does all the listening, that's not a relationship, right? So it needs to be a dialogue. Now, I know people tell me, well, I don't hear from the Lord, okay? I will challenge you on that. If you call Jesus your Savior, you've heard from the Lord. He called on you and you answered. You've heard from the Lord. Now, how does God speak to us, right? He speaks to us in so many different ways, right? He speaks to us sometimes, rarely, in a loud, audible voice. More often than not, it's a still, small voice. We all know the cartoon of the devil on one side and the angel on the other, and the devil's whispering bad things in one ear and the angel. Well, that's only partially true because the angel is really the Lord speaking good stuff in your ear, right? Now, you may say, oh, you know, I don't hear from the Lord, but I have a conscience. Well, that conscience is the Lord speaking to you, right? It's that still small voice telling you, that's a bad idea. This is going to turn out wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's the Lord's voice speaking to you. But the Lord speaks to you many ways, right? Right, one way that we speak to each other is we pass notes, right? And I don't know how they do it in school now, but we used to pass notes when the teacher wasn't looking, right? Well, the Lord has written you a very big note, right? Now, you know, if a kid passed me a note in school, I read it. Think about that. He also speaks to us through our friends, right? This morning in the prayer group, right, you know, one young lady said something that the Lord spoke to her through a song. It touched her deeply, right? Lord speaks to us through songs. He will speak to us through events. He can speak to us through dreams. I think Pastor Darren sees visions at times. And the Lord will speak to you in a language you understand, but you have to be listening for him. Now, I found this quote from John Corson interesting, so I wanted to share it. Prayer is not the way to get God to do our will in heaven. Prayer is the way to get man to do God's will on earth. Once this is understood, you will find yourself praying in an entirely different manner, and that's what Jesus is doing here. Now, you guys know me, right? I tend not to show a whole lot of emotion, and I like things to be kind of organized. And I think that the Holy Spirit is kind of, he doesn't want my organization to be what I like it to be in that. So this may be a little disjointed in that. You know, my goal today is to examine and improve our prayer life in that. But let me share my heart as best I can, right? In that, my relationship, and I'm sure yours is the same, your relationship with the Lord is largely dependent on your prayer life. And that, I've seen the Lord do so many amazing things in prayer. I've seen him bless people. I've seen him heal emotional pain. I've seen him do physical healing and that. But the thing that's most important is I've seen God build a relationship with his children through our prayer life. And that's why this is so important. You don't want to miss this. Please, please, please have a deep and meaningful prayer life with the Lord. Okay, now the chapter that we're getting into, and it's almost a shame because this chapter has a ton of valuable information in it. In that, but today I'm just going to try to suck out what we can learning from Jesus about prayer. I need to skip all the other stuff because maybe that'll be another Sunday sometime. Okay. In verse 1, right, it starts by saying, after Jesus said this. Well, if you go back into the end of chapter 16, right, he's talking to the disciples and he's saying, hey guys, I'm not going to be here much longer and I know that you're going to face some bad stuff. And that. So that's the context when he goes into this prayer, right? Now, Jesus spoke these things, right? Now, most of the time, Jesus went off by himself, right? And that he spoke these things, I think, specifically so John could write them down and share them with us. He wanted the disciples to hear this prayer. He wanted to encourage them with this prayer. He wanted them to learn from this prayer. Now, it's interesting. When I was studying for this, I came across the thought, I want to test it out. Because I have to admit, in my quiet time in the morning, and that it's just me in the living room with the Lord, and I'll pray quietly, silently, because I know he knows what's going on in my mind. This one pastor said that he prays out loud because he finds himself being, it's easier for him to be distracted when he's praying silently. And then I know, yeah, my mind kind of sometimes can wander. Now, it could be that it's 7 in the morning and I'm still working on my first cup of coffee. And that, but I think I'm going to test that out. But anyway, Jesus said these words out loud. All right. Now, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. All right. Think about the position when we pray, right? You know, we're all taught, you know, head bowed, eyes closed, hands folded, right? Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a position of supplication. That's a position of submission. That's saying, yes, you're Lord, I'm not. I'm under your authority. But the Bible, the Bible, mentions other postures, right? One is lifting our eyes to heaven and our hands, right? When we do that, one, we're looking at a God who created the whole universe. We're acknowledging his superiority, his lordliness, if you will. When we lift our hands up, we come with expectation, right? It's like little EZ running to, I don't know where he is now, but little EZ running to Maggie or Jason, he's got his arms up, pick me up, right? You know, the Bible also talks about, you know, being prostrate on the floor, being on our knees, and that, frankly, we can pray to the Lord in any position, right? I pray sitting down. I've prayed standing up in the shower. I've prayed under an automobile. I've prayed every position possible over the years. It does, you know, wherever position is fine. The Lord wants to talk to you. Now, Jesus said, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Yeah. Now, obviously, I can't say glorify me, right? That would be foolish. But I can say when I'm praying, Lord, use me to glorify you. Right? Use me. Use what you do through these prayers to glorify you. Right now, often, you know, I'm blessed to be able to send out the text for the prayer request. And a lot of you, you'll say, you know, can you pray for my brother or my cousin, whatever? And I'll text you back, yes, we'll, you know, I'll send it out. And that, but would you please let them know that we're praying for them? The reason I do that is when there's an answer to prayer, I want the Lord to get the credit for what he does. Now, this is it's not technically about prayer, but I couldn't let this part of the passage pass, right? As thou hast given him power over all flesh, him being Jesus, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's the most important message in our lives, man, that the Lord sent Jesus, that we might know him, that we might have a relationship with him. Now, Jesus prays in verse 4, I have finished the work. Now, there was a time I worked in the corporate world, right? And every 6 months or a year, we would have a performance review. Sometimes I liked them, sometimes I didn't. Part of it depended on the boss, but that's a different topic, right? Do I ever, in prayer, have a performance review with the Lord? Right? Did I do what he told me to do? Did I do the complete tasks? You think about it, it's not, oh, well, Lord, I gave it a reasonable effort, right? You know, right? Think of King Saul, right? He was told to kill all the Amalekites, right? He left the king alive, because, well, that's another king. I'll let him survive, right? Well, later on, he's killed by an heir of the king that he left alive because he didn't obey the Lord. So it's not, did I obey 99% of the time? I did everything but this, Lord. I'm sorry. It's not the whole thing. There's a reason the Lord gives you a specific instruction. Also, I don't know about you guys. Maybe it's just me. Probably not. I can put things off. Right? That wasn't necessary, Andy. Yeah, well, fan club out there. Okay. But, you know, the Lord can tell me something in the morning. Do I get on it right away, or do I put it off till tomorrow? And then the day after, and then the week after, and the next thing you know, I've forgotten what he asked me to do. There you go.
In our house.
Yeah.
Put it on the list.
Put it on the list. Okay. And that. All right. Okay, verses 6 and 8. Yes, Pastor D.
I don't know if you're going to mention this, but I think the Lord wants us to get to the point where we're obeying right away, all the way.
Yes.
And honestly, with the happy heart.
Oh, okay, yes.
Right, you know, that's because we don't want to forget.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be, he wants to train us to do that. Full
well, the funny thing, and the happy heart part, yeah, I hadn't thought about including that, but the way we get a happy heart from doing it is because when we follow his instructions, ultimately we're blessed. You know, I mean, there's times it's like, oh, come on, Lord, I don't want to talk to that person. It's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. What you want me to tell them, I don't want to say. And that if I'm obedient, I get blessed ultimately. Okay. Now in verse 6 through 8, right, Jesus shares and reviews the work that he has done. Okay. Now can you imagine what it was like to hear Jesus pray for you? Right. Do I give others the blessing of hearing me pray for them? I don't know, I can't speak for anyone else, just for myself and that, but when someone that I know prays for me and that, it lifts me up. Amen. It encourages me. Yeah. It's meaningful to me and that. And, you know, we come across situations, you know, I don't know, you run into somebody in Walmart, right, and wow, you look sad today, and they'll say, yeah. And they, well, you know, I just, I don't know. My husband's in the hospital. Right? It's easy enough to say, oh, well, I'll pray for you and walk away.
Right.
Maybe that the Lord wants you to pray for them right out loud right then to lift them up.
Even if it's uncomfortable.
Even if it's uncomfortable. And you know what? I don't know how many remember the Get Smart Cone of Silence. And that, I don't worry about those around you, what they will think if you're praying in public. And that, it doesn't matter what they think. And chances are the Lord's got a cone of silence around you. They won't even notice. Okay. I need to keep moving on here.
May I just throw in a
yes.
little thing?
Wait. Can we get a microphone to Tina, please? Ah, there it is. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was up there. Thanks, Chris.
I just wanted to...
I need to unmute it, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say real quick that a lot of times when we say, hey, I'll pray for you, we walk away and we forget, and that makes us in the sin of lying. So it is good to pray immediately, whether we pray for them right out loud with them, mm-hmm. which, I mean, yes, let's try to do that, but definitely pray as you're walking away right. so that mm-hmm. you're actually... doing it, because I forget things too as I walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a matter of listening to the Lord, you know, but there are times that the Lord will say, yeah, pray for him right now. Pass it on down to Mark. Mark, you're allowed 30 seconds because I'm behind time here.
We don't have know if anyway, the point is, we could be encouraging somebody that's walking by as we are
yes.
praying.
Yes, that's true.
We don't know that. Mm-hmm. So be bold. Be eager to pray for
them. Be obedient to what the Lord tells you to do. That's ultimately it. Okay. Oh, okay. Pass it up to Sue. Wow. Okay, you guys are going to have to forgive me if we're not done right at noon. Chris to Sue up here. The group effort this morning.
It took me a long time to get the gut.
Turn it. There you go.
It took me a long time to get the courage to do that in Walmart or wherever I was. But what really blessed me and surprised me is how open the people were to stop right then and right there. They weren't embarrassed to have someone pray for them.
Yeah.
And I mean, the look in their eyes just lit up like somebody actually cares about me enough to stop and talk to me. I don't know you, you know, and I may never see that person again, But they saw the Lord that day. And that's what's really important.
Pass it down to Debbie. Clearly, this is a place the Lord wants us to stay for a bit. So far be it from me to chop off the Holy Spirit.
I was just going to say, with Mark, we had a discussion the other day. He wears those T-shirts. And I said, you keep wearing those, and people find themselves looking to see what shirt he has on. He was out the other day and had two people come up to him and comment on the T-shirt. So any way it takes, they are wanting you to pray for him.
Amen. Amen. It's fascinating in that if you ask people, hey, may I pray for you? And that it's amazing how often they say yes. Okay. Verse 6, right? Jesus says, those whom you gave me. Right? Now think about this. He's talking about the disciples. He's saying God gave the disciples to Jesus. It's a gift. It's a gift. But that means that you and I are a gift from God to Jesus. Think about that. I don't know about you, but I don't think God ever gives a lousy gift. When you give a crummy gift to Jesus, right? You know, something that he, you know, found on eBay or, you know, at a thrift store. He gives Jesus a good gift. He's giving you and me to Jesus. Like, that kind of blows my mind. Verse 8, right? I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. Right? Jesus shared what God told him. Right? God gave him a message to give to the disciples in the world, and he shared that message. There's times that that's appropriate, and then there's times that the Lord will give us a message and it's just for us. Right? Every Sunday morning, I'll be sitting there, and somewhere during Pastor Darren's teaching, the Lord will show me something in the passage. And my first prayer is, Lord, is this just for me, or is this for everyone? If the answer is it's for everyone, it's like, well, my next question is it for now, or is it for later? You know, there's times I've heard, there's people in churches, right, that, you know, they're sin sniffers, right? The Lord will reveal someone else's sin to them, and they feel it's necessary to tell everyone that they know about that person. There's times that the Lord gives us something, tells us some truth about a person, and maybe it's so that we can go talk to that person and help that person, not so that we can blab it about the whole church. There's times that he gives us something that's a blessing, that's a revelation in that. But there's the time that he wants it told, and there's a time that he wants it kept private. And we're wise if we ask the question, because we can do a lot of damage. If we say things we shouldn't, and we can do damage if we don't say things that we should. And that getting that right is important. Verse 9, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All right. Now, Jesus here, he's praying as an intercessor. Right? It's a word that we don't really use outside of church life much, right? And it means a person who intervenes on behalf of another, especially in prayer. Anytime you pray for someone else, you're an intercessor. You're interceding on their behalf. I know some people that they are so dedicated to being intercessor for other people that they really even feel the emotional and sometimes even the physical pain of the people that they're praying for. And they, you know, so my question is, you know, am I taking the time to pray for other people? Am I being an intercessor for others? Jesus said in verse 9, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Right. Are we specifically praying for those who know the Lord? Right. The preamble to this chapter, the end of chapter 16, Jesus said, you know, you're going to have a tough time in this world. And we know that the disciples, for the most part, they were all martyred in that. And Jesus acknowledges, you know, we will be hated for his name. Well, shouldn't we be praying for each other? We need to make a point of praying for each other and for those of us who are having that time of trouble, who are being attacked. I can tell you, you know, please pray for your church leadership. And that, you know, the attack goes on. So, please pray for those that know the Lord.
And also pray for those that don't know the Lord.
Yes.
True.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's vital.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be getting there.
Okay.
You're a couple verses ahead of me, Andy. And I will get there. Okay. I'm gonna change this up a little bit, right? In verse 11, right, Jesus prays, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And, right, Jesus here, he's praying that the disciples, and hopefully those who know the Lord here are all disciples, right? That's not an official title. That's a job description. Right. He's praying that the disciples would be made more holy by God's name. You know, and when we talk about the name of the Lord, we're talking about his attributes, who he is, how he is, and that his personality, his essence, and that Jesus is saying that he wants the disciples to be more holy in his name. In verse 13, right, he talks, right, that it's interesting. This is the reason, part of the reason for his prayer, right? He says, and now I come to thee, God, that these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in them. Jesus is saying, I'm praying this prayer out loud in front of the disciples so that their joy might be fulfilled. I think the fact that the Lord has this in Scripture for us means that he wants our joy to be fulfilled too. Right. And I think we all know the difference between happiness and joy. But do you find yourself, I do, do you find yourself quite often praying for happiness instead of joy? Lord, I really want a new job, a bigger house, a bigger ministry. I'm praying for happiness. I'm not praying for joy. And joy, where does joy come from? Joy comes from knowing the Lord and doing his will. Verse 17, right? Jesus talks about sanctifying them, right? Now, sanctify means to make holy, to ceremonially purify or consecrate. Right? Are my prayers that people are more holy? Now, I think it's perfectly right. We should pray, you know, when somebody's in the hospital having a heart attack, it's perfectly right to pray that they get well. But that's praying for happy. If we want to pray for holy, right? We pray that, one, they know the Lord if they don't, and if they know the Lord, that the Lord uses this experience to draw them closer to the Lord. That's praying sanctification. And it's easy for us to pray happy. A little harder to pray for sanctification. But that's what we should be doing. Verse 17, right? Jesus points out that your word is truth. Am I praying for truth, or am I praying for what I want? It's easy to pray for what I want. Sometimes it's a little harder to pray for truth. Because truth can be inconvenient. It can be uncomfortable. Am I praying for truth? Verse 20 and 21, right? Jesus prays that all of them may be one. And it's interesting. I mean, just yesterday I listened to a whole teaching just on these two verses, the unity of the body, right? You know, and we're referred continually as a body, right? Well, a body is unified, right? You cut a body in half, well, it's no longer any value as a body. Right? And that we're supposed to pray for unity. And that, now, unity, you know, it's interesting. You know, Mark talked about the apostate church, right? And that we need to be praying that they draw closer to the Lord and that they would be unified with Him. And if they're unified with Him and we're unified with the Lord, we'll be unified with each other. You know, we separate over all kinds of doctrinal things. And, you know, we can argue about things like predestination versus free will. We can argue about infant versus adult baptism. We can argue about all kinds of things. And we can absolutely believe that we're right. And we can even quote Scripture to show that we're right in that. But if it's not about essential stuff, let's not be disunified, argue with each other over things that aren't critical to the Lord. And that, you know, I heard the pastor, I don't think he invented it, he talked about, you know, let's not major in the minors. And I mean, I sometimes, this is just me, so, you know, this isn't theology, but sometimes I think that the enemy is happy to use denominations to divide the church. Okay. Let's see. Verse 23. That the world will know. Andy, this is your verse. All right. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. All right. The world, it's interesting. The world today, right? Everything is divided. Everything is divided. Our political parties are divided. You know, you're divided by race. You're divided by beliefs. You're divided. The world is happy to divide, right? And that's the work of the enemy, right? When we come together, the world looks and goes, that's weird. This is a black person, a white person, and they get along. This is a Republican, a Democrat, and they don't hate each other. They're not cursing each other out on Facebook. Right? That speaks volumes to those who don't know in that. But I need to be praying that the unsaved will know. I need to be praying that the unsaved will know, not just acting unified in that. But it's wise for us to target those that don't know the Lord yet. Yeah, you know, I think of, there's a Corrie ten Boom story, right? And you all know Corrie ten Boom, you know, she was in Nazi concentration camp. Before the war, right? Well, after the war, right? She was giving a lecture one night, and somebody came up to her. Right? This person said that she hated God, but she came that night because Corrie's sister, who died in the concentration camp, had been teaching kindergarten and had this woman as a child, right? And this woman said, you know, because she recognized the name, she came to listen to the lecture that night, and she came to the Lord that night. But Corrie knew that her sister, it was her daily habit to pray for her students that they would come to know the Lord. So her sister died years after her death, years when this woman is now a grown woman, she comes to know the Lord. We need to be praying for the lost. Okay. Let's review. Why is prayer important? It's about a relationship with the Lord. It's about a relationship with the Lord. And that, You know, we can all leave here, right, and forget things and go about living our lives for ourselves. And maybe we're happy and maybe we're not. But real joy comes from having that relationship with the Lord. That's the only real joy in this world. See, that's the way God made us. He made us to have a relationship with Him. And if we don't have that relationship, we're not living the way we were made to live. We're made to have a relationship with the Lord. And key in that relationship is spending time with Him in prayer, listening to Him, hearing what He tells us, and then being obedient to what He tells us. Right? You know, we look at His Word, right? And I think of an example that comes to mind, right? You know, now, Christmas morning, Mary Kate's put a nicely wrapped package under the tree for me. Right? I get up, pour myself that cup of coffee, and I'm looking at it, and she says, there's a gift. And I look and I go, oh, that's pretty. But I don't open it up. I decide I'm going to go watch the football game. Well, the Packers are playing the Bears. Come on. Important stuff here. God has given us a wonderful gift. Right? Now, I can choose to leave it unopened under the tree and go watch my football game. But you know what? If I do that, I'm stupid. I am. All right? She's picked out a gift for me, and I don't even think to open it up. I'm stupid. But worse than that, she's laughing because I'm admitting I'm stupid in public. That's why she's laughing. But think about that, though. She's also hurt because I didn't care enough about her gift to open it up. Think, folks. All right. Prayer is important because we want to find out the will of God. And we do that through communicating with Him. We communicate through His Word. We communicate by listening to Him. We communicate by listening to others and going, wait a second, that song is talking to me. That's the Lord saying something to me. And that's how we learn the will of God. That's why 1 Thessalonians says, pray continually. We don't have to have our eyes closed on I-75. We can have our eyes wide open and be listening to the Holy Spirit speak to us. The bottom line here, we all hear from God. We all hear from God. And that the question is, are we willing to listen? Are we willing to listen? So let's close in prayer. Father God, I'm kind of dumbfounded that the Creator of the universe that can throw stars and planets into existence and that can not only listen to me, wants to listen to me, and if it wants to listen to everyone else that you have created, I can't explain that, Lord. It's beyond my comprehension, and I don't think AI is ever going to explain it to me. Father God, I do ask, though, that each of us would recommit to listening to you, to having conversations with you, to having a relationship with you, to letting you change our life, to make us more like our Savior, to make us the disciples that you created us to be. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our Savior, because without him, none of this is possible. None of it. And so we thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen.